Yeshaya Perek Beis. In the last Perek we learned severe words of Tochacha, of rebuke, that Yeshaya told the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Perek Beis, Hadavar Asher Chaza, this is also the word of God, the word that Yeshaya ben Amoz saw, Al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, pertaining to Yehuda and Yerushalayim. And the word chaza means it's a difficult vision. It's going to be words that are hard to accept. And as we learn through the Perek, we'll see that actually it talks about a lot of the good things that will be happening in the end of days, and the Achris Hayomim. And it could be used as the word chaza, that it's a difficult vision to accept, because Yeshaya saw this vision, but it won't happen till the end of days. And if you lived in his times, during the first temple, and it's a nevuah that's not just hundreds of years later, it's going to be thousands of years later. It's been over 2,000 years since then. We had a second temple, first destruction, another destruction, a long gullus. The very fact that they're comforting words, but the fact that it's so far away makes it a word, something that's chaza, that it's a difficult vision. Another explanation is, the Marikara brings down, that Ein lecha novi v'novi, shehikos Yisrael b'dvar tochachto, a novi that hit the Jewish people with words of rebuke, used that same language to say that we're still loved and things are going to be good. And you'll find the refuah, the healing, with those same words. So we had a chazon Yeshayod in last week that was such a difficult vision. And now we're going to see the same word, Hadavar Asher Choza. The words that were seen by Yeshayod ben Amoz al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, pertaining to Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Again, the Nevuah is going to seem to focus on, we're going to talk about the Goyim, we're going to talk about the end of days, but it's meant to be a lesson for his generation also. For the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, those people that he's speaking to, should learn a lesson based on what's going to happen in the end of days. They should start improving right now. You know, like the sign, do tshuva today, don't wait for the El Rosh. You know, in other words, everyone's going to do tshuva. It's going to be a lot different in the Achris Hayamim. But we should, Yehuda and Yerushalayim should improve right now. And very often there are different concepts that are expressed similarly, but with different nuances in the other Nevi'im. And the Navi Micha, that lived in his times, this Nevu was very similar in Perek Dalet, with there are differences that the Meforshim discuss, but the basic message is the same. But Micha basically prophesies to the 10 tribes, to Shomron. And he also spoke about Yerushalayim, but he was dealing more with the 10 Shevatim. Yeshaya, for all we know, maybe wasn't even able to set foot in that part of Eretz Yisrael. He was a cousin of the king. He was from the royal family, which we discussed last week. If he would appear in the territory of the 10 tribes, they would think maybe he's trying to subvert the government to bring everyone back to the Beis HaMikdash and back to Yehuda. Yeshaya's nevuah was strictly for Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the tribe of Judah, for Yerushalayim, and Micha spoke for the 10 tribes. This nevuah, we learned last week in Perek Aleph, part of the rebuke was the way Klal Yisrael treated the Beis HaMikdash, and the way they treated their service of Hashem. And Hashem said, "Mi bikesh zos mi'erchem rabos chatzeroi? Who asked you to go trampling in my courtyard?" But we're going to see the time will come when we'll have the Beis HaMikdash again, and the Avodah will be done correctly, and it'll be an inspiration not just for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take delight in this, will bring favor on us. V'hoya b'achris hayomim will be in the end of days. Nachon yeh har Beis Hashem will be firmly established. The mountain of the Beis Hashem, where the temple, where the Beis HaMikdash is, will be firmly established, Barosh HaHorim, at the top of the mountains, the head of the mountains. V'nison will be exalted, Migvos, the hills. Now, of course, if it's at the head of the mountains, the hills are not as high. It'd be Nisa Migavos. The Malbim explains that a har is higher than a giva. And the way to remember is like we say in Hallel, Haharim Tirkadu Cha'elin, the Harim dance like rams, Givos dance like Bnei Tzon, like the little sheep. Givos is little, they're like the little sheep. And the Harim was like the big adult rams. Harim is bigger. But Yerushalayim Harim Savivla, there are mountains around Yerushalayim. The topography is more elevated than the rest of the world. It's a mountainous area. And within that, and if we don't see it that much nowadays, in the end of days, it will certainly be evident that Yerushalayim, the whole area will be raised, will be Harim Savivlo, there'll be mountains around it, and among those, they'll be in relation to Eretz Yisrael like a giva, like a hill. There'll be hills. And above them, Yerushalayim will be the mountain that's towering above the rest. It'll be the Har Beis Hashem, Barosh Harim will be the top of the mountains, Benisa Migvos, and it'll be elevated because all the hills are around it and the whole land area is high. But not just in a physical sense, but in a ruchnius, in a spiritual sense, it'll be the focus point of the world. V'no'arue lov kol agoyim. And all the goyim will stream toward the Beis HaMikdash. And we all know the river flows down. Gravity pulls the water downstream. But miraculously, even though Yerushalayim will be on the mountain, it'll be like a river that everyone will seem to flow, but they'll flow up. They'll flow, v'no'aru elov kol ha-goyim, and all the goyim will stream and will come to the Beis HaMikdash. And it's not just the Beis HaMikdash, it's the whole mountain, the Har Beis Hashem, the whole mountain. The Sanhedrin was on that mountain. The laws and teachings of the Torah, it all emanates from the Har Beis Hashem, the Har Abayis. And that will be give the lessons and instructions to the whole world. And this is Ba'achris HaYomim. Ba'achris HaYomim, the Malbim, and others learn it's the days of Mashiach. And Rashi says, after the sinners vanish, which we mentioned at the end of the last parak. But it could be it's the same time. There hasn't been any point in history where there haven't been Rishayim, and all of a sudden everyone's accepted Hashem. It would seem that it could be it's the same point. But B'achris HaYomim, when there no longer will be evil, and there won't be Rishayim, everyone will realize and come to serve Hashem. V'holchu Amim Rabin. And many nations will go. V'omru, and they'll say, L'chu v'nal el har Hashem. Let's go and go up to the mountain of Hashem. El beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Meaning they'll recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Har Hashem, the one who come to serve Hashem. And just as importantly, the Goyim will realize it's the house, it's the beis Elokei Yaakov. It's the house where the God of Yaakov resides. That Hashem is you can't accept God without realizing that the Jewish people are His emissaries and we're the ones who have the word of Hashem and we have the mission from Hashem. So the Goyim will know their place. They'll come to go up to the mountain of Hashem, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, and realize that the one they're serving is the same Elohim, the same one of Yaakov. V'yoreinu midrachov. And He should teach us from His ways. And it could be they're not even prepared, they don't expect to know all of the ways of Hashem, but midrachov, they should get a glimpse, whatever they're zoche to learn, midrachov, from the ways of Hashem. And a derech is a wide road like a highway. Just give us the general direction. And once you teach us that little bit, they'll be zoche to glean a little bit of the knowledge of Hashem. They'll say, v'nelcho baruchosov. We on our own will know what to do, and we'll go on the orchos, the paths, the smaller roads. But we'll be able to know also, even what we don't learn, we'll know exactly what Hashem wants. We'll take our lesson from the Har Hashem, from the Beis Elokei Yaakov. Ki mitzion teitzei sora. From Tzion goes out Torah. Tzion is again the part of Yerushalayim where they had the Sanhedrin, where they had the Beis HaMelech, the palace, and of course the main thing is where they had the Beis HaMikdash. So Tzion was the important part of Yerushalayim. And from there, Kimitzion Teitzei Sora, the Torah comes out from Tzion. meaning in the simple level, the Sanhedrin is there. All the major decisions, the final psak, any question that is not answered by the lower courts, the final decision of Torah, the instruction, comes from Tzion. Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, the word of Hashem, meaning Nevuah. The Nevuah is not limited to Tzion, but from Yerushalayim, the Nevi'im will be in Yerushalayim, and they'll be able to hear Hashem's message. They'll once again be Nevuah. The Gemara says in Psachim, on Daf Peiches, Rabbi Lozer questions, Elokei Yaakov velo Elokei Avram v'Yitzchak? Why are they planning to go to the house of Elokei Yaakov? Why is Hashem called the Elohim, the God of Yaakov? What about Avram and Yitzchak? Elolok Avram shekosu ba'ohar. Not like Avram Avinu, who referred to the place of the base of Megdash as a mountain. Shenema Ashir Yeyomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, like we said in yesterday's laning with the Akedah, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, that on the mountain of Hashem, he'll be seen, the Shekhinah will be seen. Not like Avram. And not like Yitzchak, where it's referred to as a field. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basode, Rashi explains, Yitzchak went out to daven in the field, but he referred to the place of the base of Megdash as a soda, as a field. But it'll be like Yaakov, where it says, Vayikro Hashem Hamokom Ahu Beisel. He called it the house of Hashem. When Yaakov had the dream, and he referred to the place of the Beis HaMikdash as the house, he called that place Beisel. The Abarbanel says a beautiful explanation what the significance of that Chazal is. There have been and will have the completion of the three temples, the three Batei Mikdash. And each one is paralleled by one of the Ovos. Avram Avinu is paralleling the first Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak the second, and the third one will be Yaakov. Avram Avinu went through Nimrod, throwing him into the furnace. Nimrod was Amraphel, Melech Shinar, the king of Bavel. The Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and Klal Yisrael would have such sorrows from Bavel, just like Avram Avinu suffered from Nimrod. So he recognized that first Beis HaMikdash. And then he envisioned that Klal Yisrael, that Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And Abarbanel in fact mentions Avram Avinu had a wife Keturah, Chazal say it's Hagar, but he had this wife Keturah, and she gave birth to a nation, Ashurim, that were also involved in destroying in the Beis HaMikdash. So Avram Avinu envisioned that from him there was going to be a destruction of that first Beis HaMikdash. And he saw it as a desolate mountain. But he said, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. On this mountain that he envisioned would be just a mountain. It was at that moment, and in the future it would be after the Churban, it would be a mountain. Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. Yitzchak, as he was old, his eyes were dimmed. He wasn't able to see well. He represented that second Beis HaMikdash, where we no longer saw, we didn't have the Shekhinah there, there wasn't the Aron Kodesh with the Kruvim, there wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, people didn't see with a prophetic vision, there wasn't Nevuah, basically died out at the very beginning. He was the second Beis HaMikdash. And Yitzchak had a son, Esav, from whom Edom comes, Esav hu Edom, that's Rome. Yitzchak's descendant destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So Yitzchak envisioned it as a field destroyed. Tzion sort of Techarash. Tzion would be a destroyed field. He saw his second Beis HaMikdash and it was destroyed. And therefore, Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basode. He envisioned it as this field and he went out to Davin as that. Yaakov represents the third Beis HaMikdash, where Mitoso Shlema, all of his children were all tzaddikim. They're all the Shiftei Kor, the tribes of Hashem. Of course, there was no one who would, from his descendants, who would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It would be imperfect. It would be a completeness. And if anything, Yaakov is the one who battled with the Malach of Esav. Va'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishbod Es Har Esav. When Yaakov's Beis HaMikdash comes around, when that third Beis HaMikdash comes, just as Yaakov battled with Esav, so too Klal Yisrael will finally judge Esav for what they've done. And therefore, va'osfu amim rabim, all the nations are going to gather. And they're going to say, let's go and serve El Beis Elokei Yaakov. The house of Yaakov, were just like all the 12 Shvatim were united in serving Hashem, that Beis HaMikdash will be firm and will be established as a permanent structure. And it'll be the structure that unites the whole world. And they'll all say, let's go El Beis Elokei Yaakov, the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. The Shofet Bein Agoyim. One explanation is, it's going on Mashiach, the simple meaning. Mashiach will judge between the different peoples. Now the different peoples have, very often they have different cultures and different laws and different religions, and there's a conflict that they're not able to get together. And Mashiach will come and he'll set down his set of laws, the Shofet, and he'll judge them. And the world will come to recognize that what the law is what Mashiach says it'll be. Even though every nation has his own way of living and his own practices, but v'shofat, he will dictate what the law is. V'shofat bein hagoyim, between the peoples. V'chiach la'amim rabim. And even if there's a cohesive group, like a nation, and within the nation they have their own laws, they just need somebody to enforce it and make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to. But Mashiach won't have to enforce it. Vochiach, he can reason with them. Give them a tochacha, show them the way people should live. And he'll be mochiach la'amim rabim, to the many nations. Vechitzu chavosam le'itim. And then they'll beat their swords into itim. His plowshares were used to break up the soil. The sharp blade of the sword won't be used for harming others. It'll be used to cut the ground, cut the earth. And their spears will be used as mazmeros, pruning hooks, what you use to cut the vines in the vineyard. One nation won't raise a sword against the other, even without fighting. But very often we all know a nation likes to exert and show who's more powerful. The other nation should not start up. But they won't even have that. They won't even have to raise up the sword. They won't have to learn war. There won't be like a standing army, just there won't be any war. They won't even have to learn how to battle. Because there won't be need for war, but everybody will be following what Mashiach says. Beis Yaakov. This is what all the goyim are going to say ba'achris hayomim. And Beis Yaakov, some learn, is a continuation. The Goyim will say, Beis Yaakov, meaning Klal Yisrael. Lechu v'nelcha b'or Hashem, let's go and we'll travel together, b'or Hashem, in the light of Hashem. The Goyim will want to join us in following and going toward Hashem. It could also be the Novi looked in the future, and the Novi saw what's going to happen and what's going to be. And then he saw the presence. The present. What was going on in his times. And he said, Beis Yaakov, Klal Yisrael. And Beis Yaakov can mean on the lower Madriga, not like Yisrael, but the Beis Yaakov, Lechu v'nelcha, let's go now, b'or Hashem, in the light of Hashem. Right now we receive our illumination from Hashem. So in the future, the Goyim will recognize, and the Goyim will come to serve Hashem. But right now, we should be going Ba'or Hashem. We don't have to wait for in the end of days. Kinotashta. And the Novi says, now it speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, part of the difficulty in learning these psukim is it's not always clear who the Novi is speaking to. But it could be, I'd say the first part was the way he envisioned it'll be ba'achris hayomim, that all of the nations will join to serve Hashem. And then he's addressing his time, Beis Yaakov, Lechu v'nelcha, let's together go and travel in the Or of Hashem. And now he's saying, Kino Tashta, you have abandoned Amcha, your nation. He's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you abandoned Klal Yisrael, the Beis Yaakov. And if you abandoned them, it was for good reason. Because at this point, there's a lot of faults. Kimolu mikedem. They're full. more than the people in the East. The people in the East, the forest, I guess they had all these sorcery and superstitions and things that aren't rational, and the beliefs that different things would help them. And Klal Yisrael was more full Mikedem than the people in the East. They were more full of these practices of Kishif. Va'oninim ka'plishtim. Now the Plishtim were the nation on the west. They lived near the Mediterranean. And the Plishtim were involved in Oninim. Oninim is people who feel that everything, if you do it at the right time, on the right hour, and the right day, it'll work out. And certain times and days, it won't work out. But to the extent that a person's actions, whether you're good or bad, won't determine what's going to be with you, the Plishtim felt. Everything is Oninim, and everything has to do with the time. You have to catch it in the right time. And Klal Yisrael got involved in this Oninim. They were more involved in the Oninim ka Plishtim. They were like the Plishtim. Uviyalde Nochrim Yaspiku. There's two explanations. Uviyalde Nochrim, with the children of the foreigners, Yaspiku, they're content, they have enough. Either it means that there was assimilation, I don't know if it was in his times, or he envisioned that leading to the Churban, that Hashem is going to abandon Klal Yisrael, that Uviyalde Nochrim Yaspiku, it could be there'll be people who will be married to non-Jewish wives, and they'll have children, which is a terrible fault as it is. But if the person had a nice Jewish family, and he had a good wife, and he was bringing up children in the right way, and then he had children who were no good, that would be a terrible fault for the children and the wife, that's no good. But if somebody has the Yalde Nochrim and Yaspiku, he's content. He's happy. He doesn't need more. So if that's the way they're involved with all the superstitions and all the other types of believing in other powers and in other forces, and there's assimilation, they have Yalde Nochrim, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned the Jewish people, it's understood. Amcha, you abandoned your people. But your people, Klal Yisrael, doesn't do these things. Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, Lo Kesem B'Yisrael, these types of practices are not in Klal Yisrael. And we're Beis Yaakov, we're the household of Yaakov. But to be the household of Yaakov, it has to be a good yichus. Like we said, Yaakov's Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 tribes, were all faithful, they were all Shivtei Ka. And here you have Yalde Nochrim Yaspiku. We've lost our identity. So it's understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned them. In another thought, the Radak brings down V'yalde Nochrim Yaspiku. It's like people would use the expression their brainchild, their thought, what they've produced with their mind. It could be referring, they abandoned the Torah. The Radak says, Umis askim b'sifrei hakshufim, they're involved in superstition, and v'hanechushim, and in Nachash, and they're satisfied with it. And then they come to learn from the Goyim, Vatorah shalomdu osam mikedem, in the Torah that they learned previously, v'nitztavu bo heim vavoseim, the Torah that they've been commanded, and their ancestors have been commanded, mikamashonim, from way back, ozvu osa, they've abandoned it. Yalvi nochrim yaspiku, he learns as they're involved in the other chokhmos, and the other svarim, the other sciences, the other, every other study except for Torah. Uviyalde nochrim yaspiku. And in the children of the foreigners, they're content. They're happy with being involved in that. And they've abandoned the Torah. Vatimoli arzo kesev izov. And his land was filled of silver and gold. And there was no end to the treasure houses. Vatimoli arzo susim, his land was full of horses. And there's no end to the chariots that he has. There's a tremendous wealth. It's a question exactly when this happened. Because Yeshaya said the Nevuah and the times of the four kings, Uziyahu, Yosam, Ochaz, Chizkiyahu, those were four kings, one after the other, one generation after another. the only time there was wealth, in the times of Ochaz and Chizkio, there wasn't wealth. Klal Yisrael was being attacked by the Goyim, by Ashur, and the land was being destroyed. As we learned before, it could be Venostra Bas Tzion, he envisioned a Kesuka Becharem, it's like the hut in a vineyard. There was destruction all around. And at that point, and earlier when things were good, in the times of Uzziyahu, in the times of Yosam, the people were tzaddikim. But to get a little glimpse, as the Radak brings down, this is referring to the times of Shlomo. This was referring to the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech amassed tremendous wealth. So it seems like the wealth was in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Even though in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, the people were serving Hashem. But it's like Klal Yisrael, again, we're above the time. We have to live as if we still have the wealth of Shlomo HaMelech. And when things are bad, people shouldn't be serving Avodah Zarah. Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks over us and protects us. So if there was tremendous wealth that Hashem showered upon us, and it might have been in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, but how can it be you're given such tremendous wealth and then you're serving idols? Even though, again, there was a time lapse. They weren't necessarily serving the idols when they had the wealth. But the land was filled with silver and with gold, and there's no end to the treasure houses, the storehouses that they have. But Timoli Arzo Susim, the land was full of horses, Vein Ketzelamar Kavosov, and there was no end to the chariots. Vatimoli Arzo Elilim. And yet at the same time the land was full of Elilim. Elilim is an idol, but it comes from the word al, like something that isn't. It's not a power, it's nothing, it's meaningless. It's Elilim. L'masa yodov yishtachavu, and people bow down to what they've created and what they've done. They felt that they had the ability. And sometimes the ma'ase yodov can mean if you instruct somebody to do something and you're the driving force behind it, it's called ma'ase yodov. But when the Navi says, l'asher osu etzba'osav, what his fingers did, it means what he himself did. So sometimes a person can set a project into motion and feel that there's this project can save the world. But it's even more of a shortcoming if he does it with his own fingers and he knows exactly, and still he worships it as if it's some type of stronger force, but he sort of gets carried away with his own ability and his own thoughts that somehow this has a power. The Navi's pointing out four things here, and each one of them the Torah discusses and warns us against. First of all, there's a danger when there's wealth, when there's power. Uviyaldi nochrim yaspiku. People can get involved with the foreign influences, according to that explanation, what they've created with their mind, and get involved with all the other knowledge without the knowledge of Hashem. And therefore, Hashem warns the king who has the power and has the wealth. First of all, every Jewish man has to write a Sefer Torah, and the king had to write an extra Torah. And people get involved with money. Vatimoli arzo kesev izov. So the king is warned, the kesev izov lo yar below. The king is not allowed to stockpile silver and gold more than is necessary. Because the king has to always be cognizant that he's a king, he has the monarchy by a gift from Hashem. And people feel the power of their army, Vatimali Arzo Susim, the horses. They put their strength in the military. So the king is warned, Lo Yar Belo Susim, just increase horses that aren't necessary, he's not allowed. And then people feel, Vatimali Arzo Elilim, they get involved in Chanifus. They feel that the certain things they've created have a power, and if they say the right thing and they do, even if they are involved in flattery and they believe in another power and they try to show their subservience to another power and another force, they'll be successful. And parallel to that, there's a mitzvah that lo yarbo lo nashim, he shouldn't have too many wives. Because he shouldn't feel the need to satisfy and to be concerned with what others are thinking, what others feel. But the king should know he shouldn't be involved in more than is necessary for him. Otherwise, the king has to know to be focused on serving Hashem. But these are the dangers in having these items, and it leads to leaving the service of Hashem. Vayishach Adam. And the Navi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see you've abandoned Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael hasn't been faithful to their mission. Vayishach Adam. And mankind has been lowered. Vayishbal Ish. And man has been humbled. Vayishach Adam means when a person himself is on a very lofty level. He himself is like a tall person. He's like a great person himself. And such a person, Vayishach Adam, the time will come he'll be bowed. And he won't feel that he's so great, but he'll be bowed. Sometimes a person is on a high plateau. Somehow he got this position and he got this elevation. Not that he himself is so high, but he was able to take that high position. Vayishbal ish, the person who was elevated will now be lowered. Va'al tisalahem. And yet I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you won't forgive them. In other words, everything has a mita kenegan mita and a punishment. And here we're talking about the mighty people who didn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether they're the gedolim and the giborim, as Rashi says. In the achris hayomim, everything will be, the service of Hashem will be paramount, and everybody that misused their power and their strength against Hashem will receive their punishment. Bovatsur, in this time, in the end of days, people are going to come into the rock. They're going to find a hiding place in the rock. V'itamein ba'ofar, and they're going to bury themselves in the dirt. Mipnei pachar Hashem, because of the fear of Hashem, umehadar ga'ono, and the glory of Hashem's greatness. At the end of days, when Hashem reveals himself, when Mashiach comes, there's two things. Those who did wrong are going to be afraid. They're going to be afraid of punishment. And therefore, they're pictured as the person who goes hiding in the rock. He's looking for a fortress, a strong place, where he can find some refuge to be protected. And then there are those that aren't afraid of the punishment, but the other aspect, that who are they to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hadar Gaono, the splendor of Hashem's greatness? They're going to want to be just invisible. They shouldn't be seen. How are they to confront Hashem? Not that they're afraid of a punishment, but those other people are going to want to be buried in the dirt. V'itamein ba'ofar. One of the Bali Musa once said, and it shows the greatness in Klal Yisrael, you know, hoping for Mashiach. They said, the truth is when Mashiach comes, the first thing is probably people are going to go hide under the benches. In other words, you know, we all know our shortcomings and our faults. And can you imagine when finally the clock, you know, the hourglass is running and the granules are running through the hourglass and the time is almost up. And then all of a sudden Mashiach comes and who are we? We're not prepared. And yet, Klal Yisrael davens for the Gula. The main point in the Gula is, of course, there's plenty, plenty suffering of Klal Yisrael and all that will be righted. But the main thing is we're davening for the Gula that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence should be felt by the whole world. That it's a Chil Hashem, that people are worshipping others and they're ignoring Hashem. And they're ignoring Klal Yisrael, that's Hashem's nation. But on a personal level, a person's first reaction, it might take a short time till he gets the courage to come out from the benches. But the truth is, even though, and that, at that point, we'll be so aware of the truth, we'll be so embarrassed of how we've fallen short. But on the other hand, the very fact that it's not so evident right now, there's a Hester upon him and Hashem's presence is hidden. Every mitzvah we do now and every Torah, and the very fact that we are the few that remain in the whole world, there aren't that many, there are very few Jews, 1% or whatever it is in the whole world. And from the Jews, those that are Shomer Torah mitzvahs is the very, very small minority. And those that are able to stay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these times and make it to the finish line with a belief in Hashem, have a tremendous, tremendous schar. But of course, their first feeling is going to be to go hiding. But here the Navi is speaking about the Giborim and the mighty people. He's specifically those that mistreated others. And he's saying, Bovatsur, they're going to come into the rock and they're going to hide in the dirt. Mipnei pachad Hashem, for the fear of Hashem. Meaning the pachad, the fear of a punishment. Omei hadar ga'ono. And from the glory, the splendor of Hashem's honor. Einei gavus adam. The eyes of the haughtiness of man, that he feels he's so great, shofa will be lowered. V'shachru manoshim. And those that are in an elevated, they're in a high position, they'll be lowered. V'niskov Hashem levadu b'yomahu. And Hashem alone will be the one who will be exalted, and everyone will realize that we're all subservient in relation to Hashem. We're all nothing. We all have no position. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who is v'niskov Hashem levadu. There are those who intrinsically have the gavus adam. Again, those that are intrinsically like a great person, a high person, because he himself is a great person. And there are those that circumstances have placed him on a ruma noshim, that he has a position over others, but he himself is not personally so great. But all of them, whether he's intrinsically a great person or just occupies a high position, they'll all be lowered. V'niskav Hashem levado v'yomahu. And now the Navi is going to discuss exactly how you have these, all, whether you're very high or you're not as high, but they're all going to be lowered and they're all going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be alone. Ki yom Lashem Tzvokos. There's a day coming. Lashem Tzvokos for Hashem Tzvokos. And Tzvokos again means that all of the Tzava, all of the hosts, everything that there is in heavens and in earth and the whole universe, Hashem Tzvokos, who controls everything, a day is coming, and he's al kol geya v'arom, on all those that are haughty and elevated, v'al kol nisa v'shofel, on all those that are exalted. And one explanation is v'shofel. All of these people, the geya and the rom and the nisa, they're all going to be lowered. They're all going to be lowered. The other explanation is there's two types of haughty people. There are those who show it, and there are those who have what's called false anivus. In other words, they pretend that they're humble, but inside, they really feel that they're better than everyone, and they deserve everything, and they're really near perfection. But of course, humility is one of the qualities of perfection, so they show that they have that also, but it's not a genuine humility. There's the geya varam, the haughty person who's varam, who shows himself to be elevated. And then there's the nisa, the one who's exalted, the shofel. But he presents himself as being humble, as being a low person. But inside he's also feels that he's great. Va'al kol arze halavonon, whether we're dealing with people who are like the cedars of Lebanon, the tallest, mightiest trees, haramim v'hanisoyim, who are lofty and exalted, va'al kol alone haboshan, and the trees that aren't as high. The alonim is like the oaks of Boshan. They're also haughty, high trees, but not as much as the cedars. Whether it's the highest or those that have a lower position, va'al kol haharim aramim, whether it's those that are like the high mountains, va'al kol hagvos hanisos, or like the hills that are elevated, but it's only a hill. Va'al kol migdol gavoa. And the term hill, by the way, it's we had at the beginning of the perek. It says the Beis HaMikdash will be elevated over all the mountains and over all the hills. I just wanted to mention the Rashi says v'nisa migvos, that the Har HaBayis will be exalted over the other hills. There were many miracles that happened with hills. Har Sinai was a special hill. There was the mountain of Tavor, and there was the Har HaKarmel. Different miracles happen on different hills. The miracles that will be evident in the end of days will place the Har HaBayis, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, way above all the other gavos, all the hills. And here we're presenting hills as referring to the people who feel they're haughty like a hill. Val kel harim aramim, all the mighty the tall mountains, Val Kol Hagvos Hanisos, and those that are like the exalted hills, Val Kol Migdol Gavoa, those that are the like the tall towers, Val Kol Choma Vitzura, or the fortified walls. That's not as strong as a tower, but it's a fortified wall. Val Kol Anios Tarshish, all the ships of Tarshish, the ships that went to Tarshish and sailed across the Mediterranean and came back with such tremendous treasures. Val Kol Schios Achemda, and those that don't have the abundant treasures like come on these boats, but they have Schios Achemda. Schios can mean like a palace that has a paved floor. In those days, most of the floors were dirt. So something that was covered, maskis is Evan Maskis is a stone floor that covers the ground. The schios hachemdok mean the palaces that are so desired. Or the Malbim learns if it meant a splendid palace, it would have said schios chamudos. Schios hachemdok mean visions, what you see. Achemda of all types of desire. There are those who have such type of ways of picturing all the types of enjoyments they could have in this world. B'shach gavus ha'adam. But a man's haughtiness will be lowered. B'shofel rum ha'anoshim will be lowered, the exalted stature of men. B'niskav Hashem levado b'yomahu. Again, Hashem alone will be elevated on that day. Everyone else will be lowered. V'ho'alilim. But those idols, the things that had no power at all and people worshipped, that won't be lowered. That will be kolil yachlof. That will be totally perish. And they won't exist anymore. Uvo b'ma'oros tzurim. And those, the idolaters, will now go in the caves that are in the rocks. Uvo mechilos afar. In the tunnels that are in the dirt. They'll be looking for a place to hide. All those people that worship these elilim. Mipnei pachar Hashem, because of the fear of Hashem, umehadar gaono, and the glory of His greatness. Bekumo larot aretz. When Hashem gets up, He arises larot aretz to break the land, either to break the Rishayim, or if the whole world will be Rishayim, they'll all be broken, to break those forces in the land that are against Hashem. Bayomahu, on that day, yashlich ha'odom, the man will throw away Es alile chaspo, the alilim he made out of silver, or to realize that it has no power. On the other hand, it's silver. It has a value to it. But even the worth of it in terms of silver, it causes such a harm that it's avodah zarah, even though it's silver, he'll throw it away. Ves alile zahavo, and his gods that he made out of gold, which is even more precious. But it was used for avodah zarah. He'll throw that away. Asher osulo, these things that he made for himself, lishtachavos, to bow down to. Man has that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with that need that people have to feel a security in something. They have to feel that they're depending on something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that natural human need that a person should seek and should turn to Hashem. And realize that Hashem has made the whole world and he can take an honest look at the world and realize he should serve Hashem. Of course, that's a very difficult thing to do, because if a person looks at the world and he realizes the world has a creator, which is self-evident, but there must be a reason why Hashem made the world. And then the person has to think, why did Hashem make the world? Right? If you buy a simple refrigerator, it comes with an instruction manual. I mean, you just got to plug it in. What kind of instructions do you need? And it'll come with a whole thick instruction book. So how could it be Hashem made the world and He didn't give any instructions? So a person's going to seek to it. And he's going to realize, oh, there must be a Torah. There must be some type of teaching. And he's going to have to take a look and see, which is there anybody in the world who has come to realize the existence of Hashem? And if he honestly probes and he looks, he'll realize it must be the world has a creator. Hashem must have had a reason for making the world. It has to be a Torah. There must be some nation that came to realize that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a world where nobody realizes what they're supposed to be doing, and Hashem just lets the world go with nobody knowing, like having any inkling what to do. There must be some nation or somebody that's done it right at some point in history. And taking an honest look at that will come to realize that must be Klal Yisrael. And a person has that natural search. that he wants to know where he came from, what's his purpose, what's life all about. And it's a lot easier for somebody to go ahead and say, you know, I put my faith in this, and you know, whatever, it could be the stock market. Or in there, on a much lower level, the guy will go ahead and he'll make his gold idol and a silver idol, and he'll feel, you know, this represents, maybe he makes the idol. Originally it started, people figure, you know, the sun is such a powerful force. It gives light and it gives heat and energy. So worship the sun. And then people would make a model. This represents the sun. In one day, as the Rambam says, in one day people didn't start worshiping idols. But one thing led to another, and people get sunken into this feeling that they want to worship all these other things. And it comes that he made this Elilei Chaspo and the Elilei Zahavo, these gods out of silver and gold, that he made the Ishtachavos to bow down. Lachbor Peiros. It's translated as moles, those rodents, those animals that dig tunnels in the ground. Below are talefim and tabats. And the Malbim says a beautiful explanation. He says that what people did was, in the earlier times, people worshipped. They worshipped animals. They worshipped animals on the dry land, and they worshipped fish, and they worshipped birds, and they worshipped these insects, and they worshipped all these types of things. And what their idea, their belief was, that when you enter the domain of these creatures, you're sort of under their control. If a guy would be in the wilderness all by himself, and he thinks, what's the powerful force in the Midbar? What's the power in the desert? And that animal that he feels has the power and strength in the Midbar, he would worship. And if a guy had a field, and he knows that v'rav tavuos b'koach shor, that an ox is what produces the produce from the field, you have a good strong ox that can do the work, so they would worship an ox. And if the guy was a sailor and he's traveling in the ocean, he'd worship the sea creatures, because after all, he feels as if his life could be dependent on them. He's entering their territory. Now you got people in the times of Mashiach, they're running into the tunnels. They're going into those places where the Lachbor Peiros, the moles are. They're going into the caves where the bats are. But obviously, in that, it might have been times in history where a guy who was going to be in the bat, in the cave, and he didn't want to get, and he didn't want to have any problems with the bats, might worship bats. For when Mashiach comes, they're going to throw away the silver and the gold idols. Lachbor Peiros, any idols that would have been made for the moles, below Atalefim and the bats, he's going to throw that away anyways, because even though he's running into the tunnel to hide, he's not going to make the same mistake of bringing along his Avodah Zarah of a mole into that tunnel. Lovo benikros hatsurim. He's going to enter the clefts, the broken places among the rocks. Uvisipe asloim, the cracks and the crags. Mipnei pachar Hashem. From the fear of Hashem, mehadar gaono, the glory of Hashem's greatness. Bekumo laretz aretz, when Hashem arises to break the land. Chidu lochem min ha'adam. Withdraw, refrain from man, asher neshama ba'apo, who has breath in his nostrils. What importance is man? He's just got that simple breath of life in him. Kivamen nechshavu, what importance does man have? That people should worship man, if certainly not to worship these idols, but man also. Refrain from worshiping man. Who cares if man is? What significance does he have when we're talking about Hashem appearing with all of his greatness? And the Malbim learns, Adam, man, is the special Yetzir Kapo of what Hashem created. With the Neshama Ba'apo, with that special Hashem vayipach ba'apov nishmas chaim. Hashem kaviyochol put that breath of life into man. There's always the subject and the object, the one that's doing and the one that's the more passive in receiving. Man is supposed to be the subject, the great point in creation. And if man goes ahead and he worships Elilei Kesef, Elilei Kasov, he's worshiping these meaningless idols. So he's lost his whole significance of man. If the idol is greater than us, chas v'shalom, so where does that leave us? The idol is worthless. So anybody who believes in an idol is less than worthless. So chidlu lachem min ha'adam. Refrain. Withdraw from being taking that title of an Odom Asher Neshama Ba'apo, who has the Neshama in his nostrils. Don't take that title. Because if you consider yourself an Odom and you're worshipping Avodah Zarah's, Kiva Menech Shavu. So what significance can you have? If you're worshipping a nothing, you're less than nothing. The Gemara says in Barachas, this is halacha that applies every day from this last pasuk. The Gemara says in Brochas on Daf Yud Dalid, Amar Rav, kol ano saying shalom lechaveiro, somebody who greets his friend with a shalom aleichem, kodem sheyispalel, before he davens, kilu aso boma, it's like he would have made him an idol. Shenemar, because this pasuk says, Chidu lachem min ha'adam. Withdraw from man, asher neshama ba'apo, who just has that breath of life in his nostrils. Forget about people. Ki, and we can read it instead of ba'me nechshavu, but ki boma nechshavu. You have made him like an idol. When you wake up in the morning and it's a new day, and you want your day to start off right. So if you take one of the Hashem is referred to as with the title, with the name of Shalom, and you go ahead, and you go to somebody's house, and you go to visit him, and you greet him with a Shalom Aleichem, before you spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like you've treated him as an altar. Ushmuel Omar, Bameh Chashavtu Lezeh V'lo Lelokai. You don't have to read the word Bameh like Bama. Just take it at the simple meaning. Ki Vameh Nechshavu. What significance does man have? That you go ahead in the morning, before you daven, and you get yourself occupied with the greatness of a person. When you get up in the morning, before you go to greet other people, first thing to do is to daven, and to daven to Hashem, thank Him for all that we have, acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is the Borei Umanig, He's the one that's directing our lives, and we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, before the Achris Hayom, and before the end of days, when all the nations will come, and they'll come to the Har Beis Hashem, the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash, and come to serve the Elokei Yaakov, the God of Klal Yisrael, our Elohim. We'll daven today. We'll start serving Hashem now and always. Thank you.